Vinny, as I tell most of my hosts, we like to have the old-fashioned round the campfire type interviews where you talk about what you want to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I'm having a bit of a problem here with my webcam. If you could reconnect me, that would actually help.
Well, we can't see. I don't have the latest and greatest Skype because I'm not going to run it because they force updates on you. I run version 4.0.2.187.
Oh, that's why I can't do webcam. Because you need to have at least 5.1. Oh well, it's a shame because I've got really nice hair today. All right, well frack it. I'm recording the audio at least.
There you go, Vinny. Right in front of you is a soapbox. I'll turn the spotlight on to you. Click. You got your mic. Speak forth, my friend. Speak forth because the floor, the light, and the mic is yours.
Yes. Well, hello everybody, I'm Vinny Eastwood, Mr. News. I come from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, in the Fukushima-irradiated ocean. And in this country, everybody gets a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb as a direct result. So, you know, it's helping the economy somewhat. About 3-4 years ago, my goodness, how long have I been doing this? I don't know, but I love doing it because I get to expose scumbaggery all the time. But a couple of years back, anyway, I got busted selling weed as a younger man. I think I was like 19. And I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years for a first offence for possession of 13 grams of cannabis that was ready for sale. And I, at the time, was very naive, and when the police told me, you know, if you're honest with us, we'll go easy on you. So I said, okay, well, I've been dealing for 8 months, selling an ounce a week and that kind of stuff. And of course, when you tell the truth to police, whose job it is to be professional liars, I later found out, what they do is they take all that evidence that you gave them without even having to really work for it, and then they manufacture more evidence, and then they try and punish you even further for telling the truth. And that is the reality that kind of snapped me out of my belief in the system. I was a very naive young man, and in fact, that was part of my lawyer's defense for me, that I was a very naive young man, and therefore I shouldn't be going to prison. But anyway, after I had finished off my community service and all of that kind of stuff, thank goodness I didn't go inside, I got 300 hours of community service. The guy in front of me was up for sexual assault, evading arrest, and growing cannabis plants, and he got 150 hours community service. I was caught with 13 grams of cannabis, and I got 300 hours. Because I pleaded guilty. You know, the whole system just didn't work very well. So I went to university, and I quit university in the second year because I was doing film and television studies. I kind of wanted to be a filmmaker, you know, get into the industry and what have you. And what they told me was, you know, write an essay about something about television, something that kind of appeals to you or what have you. And I picked anti-television discourse. This is basically just talking about TV being a bad thing, brainwashing people, mind control, the short attention spans that are provided by the news hours and the and now this type phenomenon, that kind of thing. And they, and this was the first time I'd ever actually really put the effort in because when I was in high school, because high school's so boring and dull and whatever, you kind of don't want to put any effort in. You just kind of want to get a passing grade. So I did. I kept getting passing grades. But this was the first time I ever actually really put my heart and soul into it, read books and did referencing for the first time and really put a lot of work and effort into it. It wasn't last minute like all the rest of my work had been. And they gave me a D. And a friend of mine, his father was an English professor. I showed him the essay before handing it in. And he says, bloody good essay. And so they gave me a D. And I, it was at that point I kind of noticed that, right, this entire system is fracked. Okay, the justice system is fracked, the education system is fracked, and so thus the government and everything must be. So I'm going to go into the workforce instead, because surely the workforce and earning money for bosses and stuff like that isn't fracked, right? Because I'll be able to earn a decent amount. I got into telemarketing. I got to the point where for the last 6 months of my employment there, I had gained recognition as basically the top salesperson in the residential division. For a good 6 months, I had the top numbers on the board. Nobody could touch me. You know, I could talk, basically, and talk very well and explain things to people who I didn't even know, things very calmly, clearly, and succinctly. And as a consequence of this, I became the enemy of my employers, namely because they were jealous, perhaps, of what I was doing. But I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company, you know, their training programs, how there was nothing to do at lunchtime, and so on and so forth. And we had a big meeting or whatever, and nothing came of it. Nothing. And I emailed the boss a couple of days later, and I said, well, what's happening with these? You know, everybody had agreed with my concerns that they were legitimate and wanted to do something about it. And he said, well, as far as I'm concerned, the issue is closed. And then a couple of days later, boss tells me, Vinny, come over next door. We'll give you a cup of coffee. Cool. You know, come down, slaps a piece of paper down in front of the desk. I say, what is it? And the gist of it was a piece of paper that I had to sign saying that I would never tell anybody what company I was working for and that they would pay me $3,000 to leave that day. And I hadn't had a summer holiday in quite some time, so I decided to take the money and leave. And after a nice summer off, I had to go back into the workforce doing another sales and marketing job for another telecommunications company. And those people, I actually got into debt while working for them because they were paying me about maybe 10% of the commission that they were getting paid to go out and sell their products for them. Didn't pay for my phone, didn't pay for my gas. I had to pay for all of that myself. And so the person who was a person who was working there at the time recruited me to get started another company with him. And he turned out to be a complete and utter sociopath, psycho. Lying, cheating, son of a bitch. And conveniently though, they did pay me a decent amount. My last month working there was a bonus situation where I was given $11,900 worth of Westfield Shopping Centre vouchers. So it's basically one of the biggest mall chains in this area of the world. And I'd found out that doing appointments for this kind of stuff, I was always like driving halfway across the fracking city to go see people and that kind of thing. It was chewing through a lot of gas. It was real frustrating. And I found out that they were giving all the leads that were really close to where I lived to other employees and who didn't even live anywhere near those areas. And I was kind of pissed off with this when I found out. And I was just thinking, you know what, I'm going to quit. I feel like quitting. I called my friend John Eisen, who works for Uncensored Magazine, probably the best publication in the world in terms of quality, the in-depth, the variance in terms of conspiracy and what have you. And I said to him, you know, I really feel like quitting. Do you think I should? And he says, well, does it feel right? I said, yes. Yes, it does. So I quit. And I then, because basically I was depressed, you know, I was getting high every day before going to the office, and because I just couldn't handle it anymore. I'd been watching 2-3 documentaries a day online, and what I'd noticed is that after absorbing this quantitative amount of information, you know, 2-3 documentaries a day for a period of a good 6 months, I had a geometrically increased knowledge base of the world and had sort of started to figure out how it really worked. And I realized what a slave was and realized that I was one and I didn't want to be. And another part of it was that all the people that were informing me in all these documentaries were made in America. There was very few, if anything, coming out of this area of the world. Nothing really from New Zealand at all to speak of. Very few people, if any, on YouTube. Few, if any, with decent websites. The whole kind of alternative media thing. The media here didn't cover protests. It just basically, it was one of the worst and shoddiest, crappiest alternative media presences in the entire developed world. Like in New Zealand, there was virtually nothing, with the exception of maybe Uncensored magazine. And so I decided that what I'd do is start up a company called Guerrilla Media. So you can go to the website guerrillamedia.co.nz. And the concept was that because I'm not a researcher, and instead what I'm doing is kind of like watching documentaries, people who have already done the research, put in the work and what have you, and then I could then start posting all those things on this website and also give other researchers, activists, people of that nature, free access to this website so that they could post their articles as well, with the idea of having a central platform where all these people who do all this eclectic areas of research, whether that be the occult or the Gulf of Mexico oil crisis or Fukushima or anything really you can think of nowadays, will be posted by all these people to a central feed, all flumped together. So you can go to one place to get pretty much any information about anything that you really want. And I had started to go out. This is what I did with the $11,900 worth of vouchers, is I bought myself a handycam and a Mac computer, a desktop. And I started going out to protests and public meetings, filming them and editing them, interviewing the activists. You know, just spotting a person with a megaphone is usually easy enough. Spotting a person who speaks on the microphone, easy enough. You go up to them after they've finished and you ask them some certain questions. And I realized that just with a small amount of knowledge of the New World Order agenda, I was far more qualified to question and report on what was really going on than the mainstream media would ever be. And I began to be appreciated quite largely by the general community because of all the hard work that I was doing and giving all these activists the coverage they deserve. And I was doing some volunteer work and radio shows, that kind of thing. A good friend of mine, Vuppi Kupinger, has one of the widest listened to radio shows in the country, and she's only on one night a week, but she talks about health and the New World Order agenda and that sort of thing, and she had more listeners than any other radio show in the country during her broadcast, and that includes all the mainstream media as well, according to the figures she showed me. And when I was doing all my YouTubing, I met a lovely guy named Mitch Santel, who at the time had the biggest YouTube channel in New Zealand for the reporter category called After America. And he was producing a show at the time called The American Freedom Report, with hosted by Brent Johnson and Dave Von Kleist of 9/11 in Plain Sight. And Dave Von Kleist had some technical issues because he was doing the show from Argentina and couldn't really do the show anymore. And so Brent Johnson became the sort of default host, and he wanted a co-host. And Mitch, who was producing the show at the time, suggested me. And after a few weeks or so, I managed to get my week on the airwaves with Brent. And because of my my humor and perhaps the sexy accent, people really responded. You know, the ratings started to shoot through the roof, and it's Danny Romero, who owns American Freedom Radio, decided that I was probably the best choice. So they cancelled the show, got rid of Brent, and just gave it to me. And that's how the Vinnie Eastwood show started. Ever since then, I've been attempting to try and make sure that I work really, really hard every day to get my listeners decent guests, to improve my game as a radio show host, because I never, ever, ever envisaged that I would become the Alex Jones of New Zealand. But now I am. And this is... but, you know, and of course, being from New Zealand, it means you slant that being completely small, insignificant, and completely powerless. You know, that's the New Zealand way. And I've been starting to get on. I keep the bar really, really low on my show. You know, anybody can come on. I don't care whether or not you're a big, big, huge name. Like, I've had George Norrie on the show, G. Edward Griffin, Lindsay Williams, Bob Chapman, etc., etc. You know, really big names. But it's also slashed and spliced with a whole lot of really small names, of people that you would have probably never heard of, activists in very strange different areas of research, and people from all over the world, people from New Zealand. I've even had people from Tunisia on the show. You know, Australians, Canadians, people from the UK. I've had people reporting live from China and that kind of thing, because I'm kind of a globalist at heart. You know, I did like that whole idea of a new world order, but I didn't like the whole idea of a new world order under a clique of elite scumbaggery banksters who are going to exterminate everybody and abolish all national sovereignty and destroy intelligence, destroy questioning, destroy any type of decent information. And I come up with the conclusion that everybody wants a new world order, but they've all got different ideas about what it is. My idea that I want to bring about as a new world order is having no authoritarianism and complete national borders protected by people who are voted in unrigged elections, who tell the truth, who actually give a frack about their people, about their nations, and will not bow to corporate or international pressures of any ilk. A free world, separate, hard to corrupt, hard to take over, where everybody is treated with decent respect. And there's no authoritarianism telling everybody exactly what they have to do. No taxation without representation. Basically, the American dream. And I realized, of course, that the American dream doesn't exist, and you have to be asleep to believe it. But like everything that's ruling our society nowadays, it's a big lie, basically. Everything in our lives that we've been brought up to believe has been a big lie. And the only thing that we can do to make things right again is to take all those lies that we've learned, take all those things that we've ingested and come to think are our own thoughts, flip them back around again and make them true. There has to be a free society in order for humanity to flourish. Nobody flourishes under tyranny. Nobody. And I've found that when you start acting and behaving this way that I have, two things happen. Two types of people cluster towards you. One, really good people who are independent and intelligent and share, at the very least, a similar vision, if not the same vision, as myself. And the second would be COINTELPRO and various other agents and scumbaggery individuals who basically don't care that humanity is enslaved. Absolutely no concern whatsoever for the human journey. And it's so easy to get rid of those people, though. You know, they really are quite pathetic. And half the reason why they're coming after you is because they're jealous. You know, they're jealous that, yes, I have a conscience and you don't. Yes, I have a radio show and you don't. And it's not like this was all just something that came out of nowhere. You know, I really did have to work really hard. And I work even harder every day to make sure that my show continues, and I ask my listeners for donations in the form of a subscription, like $5 a month, $20 a month, whatever. And now, because I have people donating money to me, I have people giving me donations specifically to pay the costs of my internet, so on and so forth. Ever since I started to get all those, my workload has actually increased. So now it's come to the point where I'm uploading to my YouTube channel, in some cases, half a dozen videos a day of interviews that I'm doing, news stories that I'm covering, and none of this would be possible without all of the other people that are behind me and supporting me. And none of that would be possible if I didn't put my best foot forward in the first place and filled a niche where I was needed. You know, activists are good at researching, but sometimes they're not good at summing up what they're saying. I'm really good at summing stuff up. Some activists are not filmmakers or radio show hosts. I am. So I interview them and make films about them and bring them on my radio show, Archive, so that when they need to tell somebody something that they've already said to a million people all the time, you know, and keep having to repeat themselves over and over again, they can instead just send them a link. So I've saved them that amount of time that it takes to explain themselves that they normally do. And I've figured that these activists, people who shed blood, sweat, and tears for the freedom of our nations, are vastly undervalued by society. And I feel that if the society won't value them, then I have to. If nobody else is going to save the world, then I have to. And when I took responsibility for that, things just started to fit into place. And now I'm getting to the point where I'm actually getting enough money in from donations, subscriptions, and products sold off the website that all my bills are now getting paid without me stressing out. I now have got enough food to survive, that kind of thing. And the quality of my shows has improved. I'm now doing a webcam version of the show every day, usually interviewing another person off air every day. Like today, for example, before coming on Wolf Spirit Radio, I was talking with Mark Passio from whatonearthishappening.com. He's a former priest at the Church of Satan. And he and I had a great conversation about COINTELPRO and how people need to take personal responsibility. You know that old adage that with great power comes great responsibility? Well, it works both ways. With great responsibility also comes great power. Sort of like knowledge, for example, forces you to be responsible. You know, once you know something, it's your responsibility to spread that information outwards. And I've become a sort of a nexus point for so many different points of view, because I've covered so many different topics and different people, whether they be artsy-fartsy left-wingers or hardcore, begrudging, anti-Jewish type activists. It matters not. I think that everybody's got a story, and everybody deserves a say. And regardless of how I feel about their stories or anything of that nature, I do feel that it's when you listen to people, specifically when you listen to people, that is how you gain perspective. You don't gain perspective by rambling about who you are or what you've done or whatever. Ultimately, it's best to just kind of listen to people, specifically the people who know what they're talking about. And if I don't know what they're talking about, I should probably listen a little bit longer, and then I will, kind of thing. Some people don't like that perspective, though. And they get really angry, you know, like I'll interview, say, 100 people, and they'll agree with 99 of the people that I've interviewed. and they won't even so much as pass a comment on YouTube about it. But as soon as I interview one person who they disagree with, one person who they don't like, that's when they start to get involved and start saying, Vinny's a shill, Vinny's full of crap, you know, that kind of stuff. It's hilarious, you know? Where's people's priority here? It's about finding common ground. Where is it in any manual or anything that tyranny is good for you? It's not. So, if you're talking with somebody, regardless of whether or not you agree with some of the things they say or whatever, if they're nice, not douchebags, and they're against tyranny, what argument have you really got with them? You know, it's on the points we agree that we should come together and collaborate. And on the points we can disagree, we can leave those for another time. Because in the meantime, while there's an agenda to exterminate all of us, we'll simply distract ourselves in fighting with each other and only serve our masters as they stand by doing so. This is the importance of the truth movement, what they call patriot wars, right? You got him versus him, her versus her, this kind of thing. It's all counterintelligence feeding into it, man. There's very little chance that we will be able to defeat an enemy as well-organized as, say, the Rothschild family with all their various eclectic groups. It's very hard to restore nations from a state of tyranny with non-violence if everybody is getting angry with each other over the very small, insignificant disagreements they have with one another. Come together. It doesn't mean you have to agree with what everything everybody else says, but you shouldn't have to agree or even try to approach an agreement with somebody about wanting to be exterminated or not. It's self-explanatory. Do you want to be killed by a ruthless psychopathic individual wearing a black uniform? No, I don't. Then stop blaming me for your problems, because I'm not the one. Because I'm not the one with my jackboot on your neck, boy. Am I? Am I the one who's likely to come up to you and force sterilize you? Am I the one who's going to give $60 billion to the African Union for vaccination programs that are contaminated with the AIDS virus? Am I the one who's going to collapse your economy and build up several quadrillion dollars worth of derivatives trading? Am I the one who's going to steal the elections and go through voter fraud processes? Am I the one who's going to pass the NDAA agreement and then drone strike you while you're sitting on the toilet? No, I'm not. So what's your beef with me? You know, it's like, figure out whose side you're on, you dipshit. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. But the interesting thing is, you realize just how strong mind control is. And how addictive it is. People love it. They love attacking each other. They would rather spend their life bringing other people down than stand on their own two feet and improve themselves. This is the great sorrow that I have, because I see so much potential in everybody, and I see it squandered. And unlike many eugenicist slime bags, seeing people squandering their potential and serving interests that want to hamstring them and ultimately kill them does not give me pleasure. It gives me a great sadness. And I'm a really emotional guy. You know, I'm a big softy, essentially. And so it's hard for me to go out there and shove a camera in the face of my prime sinister, John Key, and ask him whether or not he agrees that the world government, through the UN, is trying to get over 50% of our military forces under direct UN control, under direct UN command. It's hard for me to go up and do that, but I do it. Because it needs to be done. Because nobody else is doing it. You know, the responsibility falls for me. The idea was mine. I have to take ownership of that idea. I have to go out there and implement it. Nobody's going to do it for me. You know, it's my life. And this is why I feel that my personal sense of responsibility has grown so much since I first started doing this, because I've realized that, you know, when it comes to alternative media in New Zealand, you know, like it or lump it, it's me. I am New Zealand's alternative media now. I have a five-day-a-week radio show. I'm on G. Edward Griffin's Hall of Honor alongside people like Sheriff Richard Mack and Alex Jones. I have over 600 YouTube channels. I mean, 600 YouTube videos. I've covered nearly every topic. I have the top-rated YouTube channel in New Zealand for conspiracy theories, and I even outrank a lot of the channels in America, and I beat every single mainstream media YouTube channel hands down with the amount of hits and the amount of rankings that I achieve on a daily basis, with the exception of one, the New Zealand Herald mainstream media channel, which I will be bigger than in not quite so long a period of time, because I've got so many people who believe in me now, people who are spreading my videos, people who are spreading the word about the Vinnie Eastwood Show at AmericanFreedomRadio.com, that I don't need to pay for advertising. I need to, and I don't have to spend quite so much time promoting myself. I just have to create the material and get it edited and uploaded as soon as I possibly can, and that's what I've been doing. You know, it's Andy, yes.
Take a deep breath. I got a question for you from the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
This question we have kicked around quite a bit. How do we wake up the rest of the world to the tyranny?
How do you wake up the rest of the world to the tyranny? Well, first of all, the first most poignant question is, do you actually need to wake up the rest of the world? No, you don't. You only need to wake up a small determined minority. Have a look at the American Revolution. How much percentage of the population actually took up arms to fight against King George? Only 3%. 3%! And they took out the biggest, baddest military empire in all history. That is the power of the small determined minority. If you don't believe it, then how do you think the elite got so much power? Small determined minority working against everybody else. That's how you win your wars. There's a great documentary called I Am Fishhead. It's about psychopaths, basically, corporate psychopaths specifically. And they talked about the solution about waking people up to this psychopathic reality that we live in, that there are people out there that are at very high levels wearing $6,000 Valentino suits who would kill you as look at you. And how do you get rid of that? How do you make enough people aware so that people will realize that there are these predators out there? And they use the example of herd animals in the African savannah, that it's only 6% of animals in a herd need to be aware of an approaching predator, whether that be a lion or in the US elections case, a cheetah. You only need about 6% of them to be aware before all of them are aware. So this is something that people need to forget, because it's a collectivist ideology. I am not concerned in the least with waking up everybody, okay? Namely, because it's impossible. And secondly, because it's unnecessary. I'm here to help keep those who are already awake sane. Keep that small determined minority chugging along. I'm here to inspire you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you promo. I'm here to give you a website to go on. I'm here to interview you via webcam. I'm here to do all of these things so that your voice can get out there, so that all those people who already know that, yes, we're slaves, yes, we're about to be exterminated, yes, there's fluoride in the water, yes, all of these things, it's great. Okay, fantastic. That's all we have to deal with. We're all going to die. Okay, all of those people who are in that type of wake-up stage, need to be kept sane, and that's through the use of humor. That's why the tagline for my radio show is the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. Are there any more questions from the chat room?
Not right now, but you ought to read the comments in the chat room. But Vinny, I want to say one thing. You and I have a lot of, probably many, many goals in common. And my head is... We have many goals in common, and we're going down the same path, but a slightly different path. You're a little higher mind because you're up on YouTube and all that other stuff. I'm not. But I'm going to put a link up on our page that says if you need information, go here. I'm going to put your website down. And because I've been to your website several times, and I do appreciate what you do and how you do it.
Well, you and I had a really kind of a emotional conversation when you came on my show, didn't we, Dave?
Yeah, we did.
And that's kind of something that I also don't shy away from in general, is that a lot of us, when we get emotional, it's usually out of anger. And I think that mostly we should be emotional out of love instead, because when you're really, really angry and you're flying off the handle, and I have done this before, and I do have a bit of a temper on me sometimes, and I apologize for my faults, but I don't deny that I have them, and I endeavor to work on them on a consistent basis, right? And that's why every single time when I do get criticized for talking about myself too much or doing all these other things, I kind of do take it personally, and I have a look at this criticism and really think, okay, is it true? Is it really true? Okay, how can I elaborate on this? How can I figure out whether or not this is 100% on the money? Am I a douchebag? Am I acting like a 12-year-old, as people have accused me of? What exactly is there any basis to people's criticism of me? And 99% of the time, no, there's absolutely no basis. And the people who criticize me don't know me, have usually only listened to me for the first time. Take what I say out of context. And these are the people that I call trolls or COINTELPRO. And I've read this out twice today, both on an interview with Mark Passio and one with Deborah Dupre earlier today. And I think I want to read it out again because it's really important thoughts here about how to deal with trolls, COINTELPRO, controlled opposition, that sort of thing. And for those in the chat room, I'm going to pop in a link to this video made of it as I was reading it out. But here we go. This is from Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane. They're probably one of the most discriminated and demonized couples in the truth movement. And they wanted to get a list of definitions of what it is and that kind of thing. So here were their questions. Number one, what is your definition of COINTELPRO and controlled opposition? Now, my definition is persons or organizations that form different sides of a debate that instead preach and engage in the very message they purport to oppose. Thus, when someone gets fed up with one wrong argument, they naturally assume the other side must be correct and swing across, only to be captured by another false argument set up in collusion with other interested parties. Question number two, what impact do you see this operation having on society? And I say that the impact of this operation is vast. Many people who are truth seekers are often captured by it and waste significant proportions of their time following people whom they had falsely believed to be telling the truth. Moreover, it often also affects even high-level figures and activists in the truth movement whom have to suffer demonizing, abuse, and harassment based on frivolous and malicious lies intended to discredit them and destroy their reputation. Hence, advancing the agenda of COINTELPRO to distract, derail, and disable people who are becoming effective at exposing them. Question number three. As a victim of cause stalking and internet fraud and libel, what do you propose as a solution to this ongoing criminal activity? Firstly, ignore. When you are targeted, often being lied about will produce a streak of indignation and you will be tempted to reply and in order to set the record straight. This is a waste of time. Facebook and YouTube and many other platforms have the block function for a reason. Oftentimes, blocking an account is the quickest and easiest way to balance one's chi. But if they persist, record. Record any calls, take screenshots of comments, and keep them on file for future use. Expose. When you feel you've got enough material from your COINTELPRO to make them look like an utter scumbag, then it's time to expose them. A simple video on YouTube with the material you've gathered is a simple and straightforward way of allowing others who may encounter said individual to know the truth and quickly avoid wasting their time researching, time finding out whether COINTELPRO accusations are true. Video doesn't lie. And lastly, reach out. Remember that you are never alone. Your friends and family, colleagues and others are often the best source of comfort from when you are under attack. Do not sit back and think you can handle it by yourself, as seeking guidance from a trusted person is often the best medicine for a frustrated mind. In short, never let your enemies isolate you.
Vinny, that is absolutely inspired. I just put a link in the chat we're having on Skype. Go take a look at that in a second and tell me what you think about it.
Which link is this?
It's up there in our chat.
Oh, okay, I got it. I'm just cracking it open now. Kerry, hold on a second. This is from Kerry Cassidy and you, right?
Yeah, Sunday.
What do you want me to do? Read it while we're on air?
No, I want you to read it and give me what you sense was going on. That's your test for tonight.
All right, well, I'll do that at a later stage, right? Because it's hard to read things while you're on air.
We're going to take a break here in about 15 minutes, but right now I want to take a minute and say thank you, Revolution Radio, for simulcasting us again tonight, and welcome all the people in the chat room. I'm not there because I have hard enough time trying to do one chat room, let alone two. But welcome again to the depths of the Wolf's Den with Dave. My guest tonight is the one and only Vinny Eastwood. And I've never heard things elucidated like you have elucidated things so far tonight, Vinny. But you're hand in hand with what's going on with Wolf Spirit Radio.
Mm. Well, Dave, I've got a request. I mean, are you able to just like put on brakes or anything like that? Because my girlfriend's just arrived home with my dinner and I'm really starving. So if we could put on a break so I can go and eat, that'd be really lovely. If not, I can certainly talk for another 15 minutes.
Now, what we'll do is we'll just play some music while you're gone, as soon as I reach over here and find my server.
And in the meantime, I'll also that link. You can go to my YouTube channel, ladies and gentlemen. The YouTube name is Mr. News Guerrilla Media. That's MR News Guerrilla Media. That's guerrilla like a soldier, not like a ape. But the quotes that you can get off there, as I just read out that COINTELPRO sort of mission statement as I do, you can have that available for you there on my YouTube channel. It's the most recently uploaded video, so you can go and grab that there. And spread it around as well, because when I came up with that information, I realized that when I realize things, when I summarize things, it actually helps other people to recognize and to understand them a lot quicker, because I'm just really good at summing things up, basically. You know, I'm not being arrogant about it. It's just the truth. Kind of like, I'm 6'4" and too big to fail.
Folks, we'll be back as soon as Vinny's back. Stick around. It's going to get better. Welcome back, my beloved brothers and sisters. And welcome back, Revolution Radio. And thanks for your patience. I'm sorry for the dead air. I got carried away talking with Vinny and Mr. Q. But we're back with Mr. Vinny Eastwood from New Zealand. And he has been an absolute delight tonight, because what he's been saying about everything, I 145% agree with. Vinny, if you're done with your chips,
I am.
You want to go back up on the soapbox?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take some call-ins, folks, if you don't mind. And our call-in number is 775-657-5973, and that is 775-657-5973, and the phone lines are open, and I won't even charge you.
And this comes back to another thing, is that it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you're still under the new world order. That's why they call it a new world order. And my producer, former producer, in fact, he might be coming back in a limited capacity, excuse me, Mitch Santel, he got out of America about 4 years ago, I think, and he did it wanting to escape the collapse and the coming calamity. And when he came here, he was like, what, there's fluoride in the water? Oh, my God! You know, and you just realize that almost everything in New Zealand is the exact same like it is in the States, except it's a different flavor, you know? It's like you can eat chocolate ice cream your entire life and you'll die of a heart attack, just as bad as you'll die of a heart attack eating vanilla ice cream your whole life. And that's what the New World Order is. One world, just different flavors. And there's no escape from a new world order. You know, what are you going to do? Escape to the moon? Escape to Mars? Hey, what's the mentality here? And same with YouTube is the same with the new world order. You know, like they're changing all the YouTube channels around. Have you heard about this? They're going to be basically stripping YouTube of all the personality. Okay, really crappy gray channels. Some people have been working for years on their channels, you know, myself included, and now YouTube's just going to arbitrarily force everybody on March the 7th to just scrap everything that they'd all poured their heart and souls into all these years, and now turn it into like just a grey death block channels, and for everybody. No personality. You can't even colour the writing. You can't do crap with these new channels. And my perspective is you can't simply create a new YouTube, because YouTube's YouTube and it's everything, you know. That's how truthers are getting out there. And this is the suspicion that myself and Max Egan from Australia have come up with, is that you can't actually migrate, you can't build something new. You have to save what you have, and you have to prevent it from becoming too crappy and take it back. You know, there is no running away. There is only resistance to this. There is only taking back ground, because you can't just keep retreating. Eventually, there's going to be nowhere to retreat to. You know, we're all victims of this system, and we don't really have much of a choice. It's give me liberty or give me death, is the old saying, and it's as true today as it was back then, because tyranny, unlike people, never gets old.
That's true, but I got to read this thing in my chat room from Mr. T. It said, dying from chocolate ice cream. What a way to go.
Happens to more people than you'd think. You got to get obese first, and you've got to and you've got to develop diabetes first, and you've got to be sick almost every other week first from a depleted immune system. There's a lot of things. It's not just a simple I'm going to eat myself to death of chocolate ice cream. You know, it just doesn't happen like that. And this is something that people need to recognize as well, as slow kill bioweapons, basically. They're everywhere. They're in everything. Nothing is going to kill you outright. But because everything, and I'm being quite literal here, everything that you expose yourself to on a daily basis basically is going to kill you. All right? You get up in the morning and you look out the window, and you're like, oh, it's a nice, beautiful... Oh, damn, there's a chemtrail. And then you think, oh, well, I better turn the light on. And then, of course, the light's got mercury in it. And then you wonder about what kind of ink that your sheets are stained with. And you realize that it's polyester, which causes cancer. And the ink is made from oil derivatives, which also causes cancer. And your bed mattress is over 2 years old, which you would not be able to sell to anybody in the European Union, because too much bed bugs and bacteria build up in those things over time through your sweat and everything like that, sleeping on it. And then you put on your shoes, which are manufactured by some sweatshop in India. And then you make your way to the kitchen. And then you buy, and then you eat some cereal that has literal iron flakes in it. And then you wash it down with some pasteurized, homogenized milk, which compromises your immune system. And you eat it with a stainless steel fork. And then you make sure, of course, that after you get up in the morning and after you fed yourself, that you wash it down with a little bit of coffee, which is a poison, in order to get yourself off to work that day, being a slave, working for some scumbag corporation, in front of a computer that bombards you with electromagnetic radiation frequencies. And of course, in order to shield yourself from the sun during your lunch times, you put on a pair of sunglasses, which stops vital photons from the sun getting through into your eyes and through the rest of your body. And then, at the end of the day, you drive home in your New World Order Company manufactured car that has either a symbol of Saturn, as with Nissan, or a symbol of the devil, as with Toyota, or whatever. It's all symbols throughout the entire car industry, and they all mean pretty much the same thing. I'm a Luciferian. And on your way home, you stop in at a New World Order gas station called Shell, which is owned by Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, who also incidentally runs a government department in the Netherlands that deals in legal child trafficking. And you fill your car up with petrol that is 50% or more in tax, plus carbon tax. And you fill it up, you realize that you've basically depleted all the money that you worked for that day just in order to be able to afford to go to work. And you get pretty ticked off about it. And on your way home, you notice that everybody else is having the exact same thing happening to them. Everybody. You're not alone in this fight. We're all together in this. And of course, when you arrive home, you try to forget about all these terrible things that have happened to you throughout the day and happened throughout every day by watching television! Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Brainwashing. You've got to love it, eh? It makes you feel so calm to be bathing in a radioactive hue glow, sitting on your couch by yourself, having a local newscaster make sex eyes at you while she tells you things that aren't true and tries to convince you that you're pathetic scum and that you can't make a difference in this world and that you should instead be collectivist in nature and expect the government to solve all your problems for you. That's society as I see it, on the one hand. Society as I see it, on the other hand, is that all those things were happening to me while I was unaware of them anyway. And so knowing about them doesn't actually change my reality whatsoever. So why would I feel bad about it? I wouldn't, is the answer. I don't actually worry about it when I go out and fill my car up at a New World Order gas station, because I was doing it the whole time anyway. And I comfort myself by saying that every single day I expose scumbaggery. I tell people about these things. I make sure that my awareness of our current reality does not slip from my grasp. I try to talk to people every day that inspire me, encourage me, believe in me, and help me. And all those people who don't or won't can go take a hike, because there's 7 billion people on the planet now. Why would I spend 1 minute with one person who is not worth my time? Why not good people? Why not surround yourself with the light of this world? Why not surround yourself with people of character, integrity, intelligence, experience, age, and wisdom? Most of my friends are older than I am, admittedly. I'm only 27. And
most of my friends are far younger than I am, and I'm 71.
Well, there you have it. And this comes to the symbiotic relationship of the universe, is that the older are much better at helping the young than they are at helping themselves. And the young are a hell of a lot better at helping the old than they are at helping themselves. That's why, you know, a lot of young people who just hang around with other young people never get anywhere in life, because they're not learning anything new. They're only hanging around with people who know just as little about the world as they do, and they're not seeking out knowledge. They're not seeking out new ways of thinking or acting or behaving or anything like that. And that's how our society becomes enslaved, because there's this false schism, you know, between the old and the young. You know, people who are young just go, oh, you're old, you know, you listen to that crappy old music, blah, 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 blah. And then they never bother to listen to that crappy old music and realize that, hey, the Rolling Stones are really awesome. The Beatles have amazing songs. Those kind of things. There's so much enjoyment to be had out there by the things that have already been done. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. All the new music and everything that's coming out today has all been done before at some point, and it's not really changing anything. On the other hand, if you take personal responsibility for your own journey through life, you stop having the ability to blame other people for all of your problems. And that means the responsibility for your entire life rests solely with you. And a lot of people don't like that. They like the ability to blame other people. They like it. I don't know why. I really can't explain it, Dave. You know, I've not ever really tried to live a life of servitude and thinking everybody else is better than me. I've always just tried to live the life that I wanted to live. And as soon as I realized that what I was doing was wrong, as soon as I realized that what I was doing wasn't making me happy, wasn't fulfilling me, wasn't enlightening me, wasn't helping me to improve myself or my state of being whatsoever, I'd stop and do something else. I've always been searching for things to make my life better. But often it's actually really hard to find things that are good for yourself, because there's so many distractions out there, particularly for young people these days. You know, you've got your new PlayStation portables and Nintendos and more television than you could ever watch in a lifetime. On demand, on the internet, YouTubing Lady Gaga videos until you're blue in the face. So many poisons in your diet. Yeah, man, come and have a beer. Hey, man, come and have a coffee. Hey, man, come and eat some Starburst. Come and have some popcorn. Watch a movie. Be inactive for a couple of hours while you watch New World Order programming. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I feel like I'm happy. And it's funny, isn't it? That the things that we've been brought up to believe are enjoyable and make us happy are actually the things that have been designed specifically to program us into wanting to accept slavery, ultimately. And that's the real tragedy of it all, is that the spice of life has been very much lost on people. There's so much to do, so many wonderful people, and yet we're distracted all the time, and we wonder why we're not happy, why we're not fulfilled, and why we're still doing a job for some retard who's dumber than we are, who has more authority than we do, and yet we have to obey his every order, even though we know that what he's telling us to do is wrong. You know, how can people tolerate that? And I think the answer is that they're simply not aware that that's the case. They actually believe that being distracted and being a collectivist is a good idea. They actually believe that when you work hard, you become successful. The reality is that old saying that if you work hard, you'll get ahead in life is absolutely untrue. The reality is actually that if you work hard, you will make money not for yourself, but for your employer. And the rest of the money that you did make for yourself gets taken away by tax or by simply the cost of living until you have worked so hard to be at point zero, aren't you? That's reality. And it's a sad reality. Some people say that that's just the way it is. And I say that may be true, but it's not the way that it has to be. And I'm not the person to change everything, but I can change myself. And I have a responsibility to myself, my own happiness, my own peace of mind, to do it. Because ultimately, when I expose the New World Order, the reason I'm doing it is not because I'm brave or strong or any of those good things. In truth, it's because I'm deathly afraid. I'm really afraid of being poisoned to death and dying of cancer. I'm really afraid of being in bondage. I'm really afraid of going to jail for my political beliefs. And it's the knowledge of those things that I should really genuinely be concerned about that the responsibility falls to me to do something about it. Because if I don't do it, nobody else will. If I don't take personal responsibility, nobody else will. That's why it's my life. Nobody else's, mine. You know, we don't live in the avatar world here. We're not walking around in some jelly soup of digital machinations. I'm here, I'm me, and that's all the reality that I need. And by goodness, when you realize that, life becomes a lot more fun. Life becomes a synchronous series of events. People come at me all the time with gifts, with knowledge, with joy, and my life just seems to get better on a progressive basis. Every day, I thank God that I'm alive. I'm so grateful for all the people that I get to talk to, and people seem to respond and appreciate who I am and what I do. When I was younger, as a kid, I didn't have any friends, you know, really. When I was in high school, I had about maybe 14 friends or something like that. And after I left high school, you know how many of those people remain my friends? Not one.
Two.
Not one.
Oh, I have two from when I went to high school.
See, and that's the difference. When I was in high school, I actually had to repeat my last year of high school because I was, you know, going out and drinking, that kind of thing. I was 18, why don't you? And what happened was my grades started to slip and I wound up not having the ability to go to university as a direct result. And so I had to repeat a year. And what was funny was that a lot of my friends at that time were actually in a year below me. So it meant that I could actually, you know, have a be in a class full of people and actually have some friends for once, because the people in my own year, they all didn't like me. And I incidentally wound up becoming the head of the prom committee. You know, like I came up with the name for the concept for the school ball. It was, I call it the snowball, you know. And we had a snow theme and that kind of thing. We had a decent playlist of music, and I did all the decorations and organized the committees and blah, 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 blah. And the ball was such a success that the principal made a point of calling out the names of everybody in the seventh form, that's the last year of high school in New Zealand, calling out the names of everybody in the class that had helped out. There were 31 people in that class, and 30 names were called. I was not one of them. And you know how many people out of those 30 people stuck up for me and said, "What about Vinny?" Not one. It was at that moment I realized that I wasn't the crazy one. It really was everybody else. Everybody else was spineless, cowardly, dishonorable, and didn't care about me. Didn't care about anything. And I didn't want to live like that. I didn't want to become one of those people. I couldn't. It just didn't fit with me. That's why none of those people are my friends today. Because I have nothing in common with them. They love their servitude. And I don't. And so I had no reason to be around them anymore. You know? Get away from toxic people. Because they will never, never help you to get ahead. They will not help you. Because they can't even help themselves.
Oh, Vinny, that is, my young friend, that's sage advice. Absolutely sage advice. And, golly, I don't know how to say thank you except say thank you.
Well, I get thanks all the time, every day, you know, it's just, and of course, I don't actually take too much. I do take a lot of credit for the things that I do and the things that I say. Of course, you know, that's why my show is called The Vinny Eastwood Show. And one guy complained about my show and said, "Oh, you think it's all about you?" And it's like, it's called The Vinny Eastwood Show, bro. I thought it was a dead giveaway.
And yet, you know, it's interesting.
You know?
There has been an accusation made that I have a tremendous ego, that my ego is what drives me. And I like to think what drives me is my heart, my brain, and my body to get out of bed and see what kind of adventures I have in front of me today. And I do this radio show so that my guests, like you, can come on and say whatever you want. You notice I've been very quiet. And Thomas, I just want to make sure you're still there.
Nope.
He's got his mic.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there he is. Oh, my God. He exists. Listening. He's real. Yeah, I mean.
Just listening.
Yeah. And this is another thing about being a New Zealander. And I'm the first New Zealander in the world, by the way, to have a radio show on real American radio stations. First in the world. First New Zealander in the world to interview George Norrie, first to do G. Edward Griffin, and all of these things. A lot of firsts. Now, it's not necessarily about me, though, because I'm only one man. A man can be stopped. A man can be shot. It's about the idea, because ideas are bulletproof, aren't they? This is not about one person. One person can wake up another person. You can have a good life or whatever if you take some personal responsibility. And I must have repeated that many times because it's very true and people need to recognize this, you know. Don't sit around and do nothing when you can do something, okay? Especially now, in these days, there, it's almost, I feel, a crime to do nothing. Not a crime that I would actually want to spend the federal budget on enforcing, on the other hand. Because, of course, if I had a federal budget, it would be all in my best interest to prevent people from doing what they actually really want to do. I think it's more about the fact that because I'm New Zealand, because I'm foreign, and there's another thing that I like about Americans is because they're all very accepting, and they're actually some of the kindest, most, and specifically the most generous people I've ever met have been from America. They may not be the brightest, they may not be the worldliest, but they are certainly some of the kindest and most generous. And I wondered why that was. Why is it that Americans are so kind and so generous? And it dawned on me that it's actually the Constitution. You know, it's the only thing that really separates America from the rest of the world, about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think that Americans, on the whole, have realized that they're not happiest when they're alone. They're happiest when they're together. And they're not happiest when they're being denied things. They're happiest when they're being offered things, given things. That sort of mentality. That's what I liked about my American brethren and what have you. And I also saw that the American Patriot movement and anti-New World Order movement was quite significant in its size and indeed in its role in the global resistance against the New World Order. Probably the most important a country in terms of the New World Order would have to be the United States. And I felt that Americans, almost because they're very insular, because they know a lot about America and not much about the rest of the world, that they also felt very alone in this fight. They didn't feel that there were people coming out of the woodwork from all over the world to come and help them and to come to their aid as they had come to the rest of the world's aid in world wars and things like that. And of course, after the world wars, they came to everybody's aid by bombing them and contaminating their soils with depleted uranium. And ever since then, the world has started to turn against America, and that's the agenda of the New World Order, is to get people to hate the last vestige of freedom and sovereignty that remains in the world, being that of the United States. This is my great concern, that people will, instead of hating the New World Order and their corruption of the US government, they instead hate the American people, the nicest, kindest, most generous people you'll ever meet. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And that's part of the role that I play, is that I let Americans know that they're not alone in this fight, that even in the crappy little island-chained nation of New Zealand, there are voices speaking out in support and trying to help you to win this fight against tyranny and bring back liberty.
And the thing that amazes me the most is something as simple as energy. Everybody knows about positive and negative energy, because if those things didn't exist, you wouldn't have a positive and negative pole on your battery. The same thing applies to energy that comes through us and interacts with us every day. So it's pretty easy for me to see, but it's very difficult to get other people to, you know, just take a small bite of this mushroom and you'll see it too. How the government, they do this stuff on purpose because they want to keep the energy flowing in a certain direction. So they're negative on purpose, so that everybody else will be positive. Because when you're positive, you're giving, and when you're negative, you're receiving. That's what electricity works, but the energy flows. And so their idea, and this is why they're the richest people and the elite of the elite, because they are constantly receiving from us. And it's finally changing around to where people are not giving them everything they have anymore. But what I really hope that people will do is understand how that energy works, so that they can see it and not participate at all in it anymore. Shut it down before it even builds up to where it is right now.
Yeah, it's like somebody shooting a beam of negative laser energy at you, and all you need to do, you don't need big bulks of armor to carry you around and weigh you down. All you need is a little mirror that's even small enough to fit inside a lady's handbag to reflect that negative energy beam right back at them. Okay, and that was.
Does that mean I can do it with my double tin foil hat?
No, I think you better keep it, bro.
If you want.
I could resist that.
Yeah. Well, see, never underestimate the use and convenience of a good tinfoil hat. And you know, truthers need to make fun of themselves as well. Have you guys ever met these really, really serious truthers? You know, like they don't laugh, they don't smile, they're just always angry all the time. It's just like, dude, okay, you're trying to fight the most negative, evil force in the world, and you think you can do it by being just as negative? No, you idiot. It's about being happy. Why? Because they don't want you to be happy. It's about smiling. Why? Because they don't want you to smile. It's about being free. Why? Because they don't want you to be free. It's about becoming attached and care about other people. Why? Because they want you to be detached and not care about other people. It's the only way that they can corral you into a corner and slaughter you at the end of the day is if you have no attachments. If you feel as though you're alone, and say what you want about religion. I mean, I'm not religious myself, but there's one interesting little factoid to mention about it. And that was in Vietnam, in the POW camps, those US soldiers who had a strong belief in God were the ones who survived predominantly much more often than those people who were atheistic or had no belief in God. Why? Because when they were locked alone in those huts, when they were bound in manacles, when they had a barbed wire around their wrists, they were not alone. They knew that there was something there with them, something higher than themselves, something strong, something that couldn't be broken, something stronger than a human body. And that was what the belief in the higher self or the spirit or anything like that truly meant to those men. They didn't ever feel alone. And that's what psychopaths do to you in order to break you. They try and make you feel alone. And nobody's alone. Ever. We're all very much in this together. And it's only the New World Order scumbaggery types who really do want to make us forget that. They also want to make us forget that we're incredibly powerful creators, you know. If somebody had told me 2 years ago that I'd be the biggest truther in New Zealand, that I'd have the biggest YouTube channel, the best radio show, and a decent website and all of that kind of stuff, I would have said, yep, sounds about right, you know, because I believe in myself. I believe in my higher self. I can't sit back and do nothing. I never have been able to. I see problems and then create solutions for them. I don't see problems and then try and create excuses for not doing anything about it, as some people do, because it's just such a foolish waste of your time. You know, occasionally, I do know how to relax, though. Boy, George, do I. And there are occasions where I will relax so much that it will actually make me tired. You ever done that when you've just been inactive for a day or two, just sitting there watching some TV, playing some computer games or something like that? I'm sure many people have. And you just kind of, you become lethargic. And I think that's what has happened to the human race as a whole. Is that they've been doing nothing for so long that it's made them tired and make them think that they can't do anything.
Vinny, right on. She's still there.
Yeah, I'm still here. It's just when you think about things as deeply as perhaps I do, and some I'm not sure why other people don't think through things as clearly as I do. I don't know. Maybe I'm just blessed, you know, because my mother was a poet, my father was an entrepreneur. He by the time I was born, being the fifth out of a family of five kids, the youngest, of course. He'd already started up this forklift tire business, and he became the largest distributor of forklift tires in the Southern Hemisphere. He created over 400 different types of tires himself. He invented a new way of bonding rubber to metal so that they could solve the tractions and freezing works. He became the darling of the Chinese forklift tire market, that kind of thing. And I'm endowed with that, as well as my mother's very strong intuition. She's very kind of like almost to the point of being psychic to a degree, and very emotionally sensitive. And so I've got those best of both worlds. I've got that entrepreneurial spirit, as well as one that truly cares. Like, I am actually probably one of the most genuine people you will ever meet. And I do things for people that I don't even know, huge things as well. I remember not too long ago, I think it might have been as little as last week, I was in a play that I helped write for a guy named Teo Wells. You can watch it on my YouTube channel. It was called The Risk of Listening. And after that play was done, I decided that I'd go see one of my friends, because I was parked really close to where he worked at his bar, and I'd lost his cell phone number, so I just went up to go and see him. And while I was up there, I met up with another couple of friends, and we all hung out and had a few drinks together. It was real fun, and we went back to their place to have a few drinks, and then moseyed on way back to the bar. And on our way there, I saw this group of African people. One of them was very, very, very drunk, unable to stand, literally. And he had his friend there, who was a sort of a shorter, very, very stocky, muscular guy, and about maybe four girls who were dressed up to the nines. These are just the quintessential African goddess. Like, whoa, that's my pretty girls, you know. And as we walked past, I stood down and said to help them, you know, and one of the girls actually pushed me away. So I was like, okay, and then go back to the bar. And as I was standing there for a few minutes, one of the girls comes over, not the one who pushed me away, of course, and said, hey, can you guys actually help us? So I was like, okay, are there any other 6'4" burly individuals around that are capable of actually carrying an incredibly drunk dude? No, there aren't. Okay, responsibility falls to me. Not because I have to. I could have just said, nah, sorry. You know, not my game. But they needed me. And I knew they needed me. There would be no way of them actually getting anything done without me. and it was just that simple. So I went over and carried this guy with the help of his friend, who was quite heavy for a skinny fella as well. Carried him close to a kilometre. And I'm sure you, if you guys have ever carried another individual, particularly when they're dead weight, they're very, very heavy. It was about halfway that I was starting to think, man, how did I get myself into this? but yeah, we made it to the main street, found a cab, drove us back to his apartment complex. It took two of us to get him into the car and two of us to get him out of the car. You know, I was in the back. I made sure that I tucked him in with his seatbelt and everything, and got his legs out one by one. You know, I mean, basically he had a complete loss of motor function, as happens with alcohol poisoning. And we took him up to his apartment, threw him on the couch, forced two glasses of water down him, took off his shoes, took off his pants, threw a blanket over him, and put a pillow underneath his head, and then put the garbage bin with the plastic bag in it next to his head just in case he needed to puke. And I said, all right, guys, my job here is done, and I'm out of here. That's exactly what I did. Now, having no reward, like no money, no nothing for that kind of thing, wasn't. I mean, of course, it wasn't the reason I did it. I did it because they needed me, whether or not they knew it. after I'd finished off and done all that things to total strangers, just imagine what, how it affected their lives to know that there are people out there who would literally, out of nowhere, do that much for them with no obligation whatsoever. It would change their lives. I told this story to a number of people, and just hearing the story, they said to me, man, you've just restored my faith in humanity. And it's just that easy. One kind act is good enough to overdo and outclass every single act of evil that had ever been committed against that person. And then you just find out that there's one person, one place that did that one thing, and suddenly all that bad stuff doesn't seem so bad. That is the power that we have as human beings when we do things for other people. And I've always said for a long time that the best things in my life have been given to me. I mean, right now, space on this radio show, very good thing in my life. I love doing radio, has been given to me. The computer that I am doing this on, a 27-inch quad-core processing iMac, $4,000 New Zealand dollar computer, was given to me. The microphone that I'm speaking through right now was given to me. The clothes that I'm wearing right now were given to me. Everything that is good in my life gets given to me. And it's out of the act of giving, not taking, that we actually feel more grateful, isn't it? And you got to live your life in gratitude, because if you live your life expecting that other people will do all this stuff for you, that you don't have to do anything, that you don't have to get off your ass, and you don't have to care about other people, that you don't have to give that bum on the side of the road the last bit of change in your wallet or whatever, that you don't have to do anything. I do things not because I have to, but because it's what I want to do. Because so much has been given to me, I feel that I must give things back. And that's what my own personal form of justice really is. You know, there is no justice in society without giving, is there? And there was once a society, a friend of mine led me to believe, that had no taxation. No taxation of any kind. And in that society, the only way that anybody would gain social status is if they did something for the community. For example, such and such person donated the money for this bridge. That kind of thing. That was the only way to get any respect or any status in society, is to give things to others. Not out of selfishness or wanting to be the big head honcho and wanting everybody to look up to you. It wasn't about that. It was because everybody was free that they were then able to give to others without thought of return, and others, regardless of whether or not you wanted to be recognized, recognized you regardless. Okay? It's two people doing things not because they have to. This is what society should really be about. You shouldn't be forced to pay taxes. You shouldn't be forced to obey like speeding rules or any other of that kind of stuff, because it's all arbitrary, and it's thrown at you as if it's real, as if it matters, as if people should really care that the rules are there. I don't think that the rules should be something that's enforced per se. I'm not advocating some kind of chaotic society or anything like that, but more or less just I want to see a world that sees itself the way I see it, full of really, really good, decent people who actually care about each other enough to go out of their way to help. That's the world I want to see.
Could not agree with you more. All right. I'm going to bring JP into this conversation. JP is one of my hosts, a co-producer, a musician, an IT guy, webmaster, and a super good friend. He also has another little unique talent called ray reading. Don't you, JP?
Yes, I do. Hello, Vinny. It's your limey bastard.
I love me limey bastards, especially with tequila.
Just give me a squeeze, will you? Hey, how you doing?
Well, you know, my standard response is I'm borderlining on fabulous.
Oh, well, you know, I'm seven shades of awesome, so that should be all right as well.
Excellent. So what can we do? Right, what can we do for you, JP?
What can you do? What can I do for you? Dave May of, in the meantime, because I lost the 2 minute bit of the show, between the two, you know, it's like jumping forward in time. But, he may have, explained that I do this thing called the seven rays.
I haven't heard about the seven rays, but tell me about it.
All right. They're personality archetypes, and they are the essential archetype of like higher selves, and they occur in frequencies the same as music, right? So essentially everything is like a musical scale going from the slowest frequencies all the way up, and there's an A in one octave, and that will be the same note as the A in all the other octaves. You get me?
Not really, but go on.
No. All right. Okay. Well, essentially, what we're saying is that the universe is a hologram, and it's made of frequencies, and it's like music frozen in time. Are we there?
Yeah, like Frequency Jones.
Yeah. Like Frequency. You lost me.
Like Quincy. You know who Quincy Jones is? He's a music producer.
Frequency Jen. It's a shame because I would have got that. Anyway, so here's the thing, right? You were talking earlier about America, and without going into the technical details of it, is that basically you have a similar energy to America, the country. And because you are who you are, and you know the stuff that's happened to you has pushed you into this corner where you have to absolutely express who you are. You have to express yourself, and your sort of the inner part of you, not just the controlled part of you, like everybody else. You're talking about your awakening. So you've gone through what I would call an initiation, which takes you into your higher self, your soul, starting to express, and that's where all this, you know, sense of injustice comes from, because deep down you have a great deal of love, and behind that you have a great deal of thirst for the truth and insistence on the truth.
And rage. Don't forget the rage.
Does that make sense? Well, the rage, right, they say, courage, the rage of the heart. It's what they call righteous anger. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And the way you take the piss out of it, as we is that's you know, that it's a very, you're expressing your rage in an incredibly soulful way. Do you get me? It's humor. The way you do it in humor is a soulful way of doing it. Like, you could make art about it, you could make music about it, or you can, you know, make entertainment drama from it, or you can make comedy from it, and that's where you're at, and it's brilliant. It's very funny.
Well, you know, my first,
in case you're interested, we have 9,580 listeners right now.
Wow!
Holy Lord!
Hi, everybody. I hope you've been enjoying it. By the way, my website is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Is the Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. like I say, there's nothing shameful about shameless self-promotion. Now, I wanted to actually address something that one of the people in the chat room said, I'm very happy that Vinny has had such blessings, but he makes it sound like that's how it is for everyone. My views have alienated me from almost everyone I know. Only been the last 3 months that other truthers in the area started popping up. Facebook helps to connect to people like all of us. Now, I may make it sound like everybody's on the same boat. And it's true, because we're all on our own boat, okay? Everybody is on the same boat. It's your boat. And you're the one who gets to steer the rudder and pick which direction you're going. You're the one who makes conscious decisions about how you react to things. For example, I've experienced a lot of trauma. Like if anybody's ever been arrested before, especially at the young age that I was, and as naive as I was, and as trusting as I was, being arrested destroyed me. It broke me down to my bare bones. I prayed and hoped that I would become a stone, so I wouldn't feel such hurt and such pain anymore. And it's only once you've lost everything that you're free to do anything. And after I had, the reason why I started dealing drugs when I was young is because I was living with my flatmate, who was a good friend from my high school, and my girlfriend from Japan. And she went back to Japan, and my flatmate went back to Waiheke Islands, and there I was, stuck in this three-bedroom flat by myself. And when I was selling weed to people, it was kind of like I wanted to reach out, and I didn't want to be alone, sort of thing. And this was a way that would make people want to come to me, that kind of thing. And I thought that I had real relationships with these people. You know, I talked about them and their problems, why they needed it, and all that sort of stuff. But in the end, it was actually one of those people that were just, you know, randomly turning up to my door asking for marijuana that dobbed me in to the police. So it was out of my my nature of wanting to be with people and have fun and do nice things or whatever that actually got me into trouble. So, you know, I'm on the exact same boat as everybody else here. You know, we all get manipulated, and we all have such great problems dealing with the flack that comes at us. But it reminds me of an old Lancaster bomber pilot saying. Lancaster bombers were the planes that were used to bomb Germany as they took off from England during World War II. And their saying goes that when you're copping the flak, you're over the target. And I think it's like you do really have to look at yourself first and sort yourself out. You can't blame other people for not being there for you if you never asked them to be there for you. You can't blame the world for not being the way you want it to be if you don't take an active role in shaping that world. You know, and again, as I said many times before, it comes back down to personal responsibility. But the problem is, though, that this concept of us being helpless has been with us for so long that we've been told this thing many, many times, that we're insignificant, that we're powerless, that we don't have the strength to change the world. And just like everything else, the New World Order has taught us, it's one big lie. Don't, under any circumstances, believe people when they tell you that you're worth less than nothing. Don't believe them. The only reason why they're telling you that is because they really believe it themselves. And they're wrong. You're right. You're the one who actually has value. Why? Because you're not a sociopath or a psychopath, are you? You're a good, decent person who would never do such horrible things to other people. And believe it or not, the vast majority of humanity is exactly that way, like you. You may have a few douchebags or who give you some shtick every now and again. Ignore them. If they can't be ignored, record them once they've been recorded enough, expose them. And all the while, you need to reach out, reach out, reach out. Just like a soldier in a POW camp would reach out to God to make sure that he's not alone. Thus, in this real world, we can reach out to other people around us so that we do not feel alone. Because that's how psychopaths operate. They isolate you. They make you feel alone. And that is when you feel your least powerful, is when you don't feel like there's anybody there to help you. And I took great pains and even criminal convictions and being let go from several jobs one after the other, all in terrible circumstances that left me feeling betrayed to the point in which I can no longer be employed. I am unemployable. I have an employment phobia. The last job interview I went to was several years ago, and I had a panic attack because I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't be somebody else's property. And that's essentially what I feel a lot of work is. You're simply somebody else's property, and they're renting you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I was 30, I realized that, and I remember walking into work one day thinking, "Sod this again," as old as that, 20 years ago. I mean, it's not been easy, but I totally get you about, you know, being unemployable. Now, I don't want to be employed. There's so much, I can see so much illusion in where they're at right now that I don't want to be employed by any of them because, you know, it would be bad for them to have me around because of my attitude. I think this is because we are here to create the future. And the future isn't like it is now. The future isn't a world of 9 to 5 and employment from 13 to 65. You know, it's going to be a very much different place. Once we've managed to make the new world of the collapse.
Yeah.
Which is the idea. This is, as far as our reality is concerned, this is our aim. This is, you know, this is our desire to actually foment the collapse of the new world order and its, and all the people behind it. And it seems to be actually happening. I mean, there are rumors just today that something is going on, that, that there are people like Bill Gates and, who else is it? I don't know if it's Kissinger. Tim Geithner and Bernanke have all been arrested. No, Bernanke's been arrested already. But Geithner's been squealing on everybody. Is the thing. He's been singing like a nightingale, so they say.
Well, you know, maybe. This is the thing about psychos, though. You can't trust them. Even when you think that they're on your side, they're still working away to benefit themselves only and not you. So if some of these New World Order puppets are turning each other in, turning states' evidence, etc., it doesn't mean that they're your friend. There's an old adage, a story with a moral to it, that was said in a movie called Assassins. I think it was with Antonio Banderas and Sylvester Stallone. There was a bird flying along, and some cold weather came in, and the bird froze, and it fell to the ground. And lying there frozen, the bird thought that he was dying, you know, he thought his life was over. And a cow came along and crapped on him. And the crap was so nice and warm that it thawed the bird out, but he was still stuck in it. And a cat comes along, and he helps the bird out of the cow crap, and then he eats him. And what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is, just because somebody digs you out of the crap that you're in doesn't mean they're your friend. And this is something that I think a lot of people need to understand, that these New World Order people cannot ever be trusted. They would never have gotten into those positions where they're capable of dispensing such suffering and lying so blatantly to people without remorse if they had any humanity left. So, you know, I think we can use them to defeat themselves, because they're so selfish, they will be their own worst enemy. They'll be scrambling for the scraps that are remaining on the table, and I'm suggesting we use that. They've been dividing and conquering us all this time, and I think it's about time that they have their turn of being divided and then getting conquered, because that feels right to me. That feels like justice. It does feel as though something that should happen if somebody's been such a scumbag, basically. And that's my theory on it. But the thing that people need to recognize is that working together, you accomplish a lot more than working against other people. Okay, cooperation is far more efficient in terms of the economy, in terms of relationships, in terms of everything. Cooperation is far more efficient than competition. Competition ensures that only the strongest survive. Cooperation ensures that everybody survives. And I think that is a far more positive outset for us to work with, because ultimately, the people that make you feel better is not the enemy who's trying to shoot you. It's the man at your side who's trying to protect you, isn't it? Because you develop a bond at that moment where, when you are in the trenches together, when you are fighting alongside one another, that is when the strongest bonds and friendship and brotherhood are formed. And we've been taught to forget that. Taught to be suspicious of other people, taught to retreat inwards, taught that other people are a threat.
All right, real quick, I want to thank Revolution Radio for being here, because they're getting ready for their midnight Eastern Time show. And Revolution Radio, hit that donation button. Every Monday, penny they make goes toward the operation of the show and the network. So thanks again, Mike. Appreciate you taking the time to simulcast us. Okay, Vinny.
Okay. And lastly, anybody who wants to go to my website, guerrillamedia.co.nz, make a donation or subscribe for $5 a month to help me continue the important work that I'm doing at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You have access to free archives, all this kind of stuff. You don't have to pay for it. It's just a strictly sort of a donation bonus. If you believe in me, you believe in the stuff that I'm doing, you enjoy the stuff that I'm producing and the people that I'm getting on the show and that kind of thing, support me, because by supporting me, you support everybody, because I do support everybody, quite literally, and I'm one of the very few people you'll ever meet in your life who can say that honestly and genuinely.
Thank you, Vinny. That is, once again, I'd like to have you back again sometime soon.
All right. Well, when's the soonest you can organize me?
Vinny, right now, I got to look at my schedule for March and see when I got free, but I'd like to have you back on this is my first Tuesday night show. Or no, this is a Thursday night show. I'm sorry. I do a show Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Saturday afternoon. I'll get with you and we'll work out a time that'll be more convenient for you if we can. And I also do a 2-4 show on Tuesdays. But my show Thursday and Saturdays are simulcast with Revolution Radio, and they're the ones that brought us 9,583 listeners tonight.
Quite appreciative of that. And again, oh, that comes back to what I was saying about collaboration, doesn't it? They didn't have to do it, but they did it.
And you know, next weekend we're all going to be on the United We Strike weekend together.
Oh, yeah.
And we are going to try to simulcast every show for the entire weekend and then record the shows as well.
Yeah, you've got a couple of slots, haven't you, Vinny?
Yeah, I'm on two different shows on the United We Strike broadcast. There's one that I do by myself. I get a whole lot of Kiwi activists on there to, you know, fulfill our role in the battle against the New World Order scumbaggery. And another one with Charlie McGrath and Mike Chambers called Randomonium, where we have an awful lot of fun and have a few laughs at the New World Order's expense. Because let's face it, nobody's got a bigger expense account than the New World Order.
That's true, and we all pay for it.
Oh, yeah. And some of us pay for it in blood, some of us pay for it with money. But it is something that I'm really cognizant of, that basically the truth movement cannot exist without the listeners. It can't exist without those people who tune in, who make the donations, who buy stuff off the websites, that kind of thing. I mean, the real problem with our society is that everybody's basically they're all in a state of constant dependence. And that's the real problem with surviving, is that we're not independent anymore. You know, we really do need other people. And I think it's like when you dress down people, when you talk down to them, when you don't appreciate other people helping you to do what you want to do, that's when you become too full of yourself. And I'm a firm believer that once you become too full of yourself, you get too far ahead of yourself. And you basically go off the deep end, you become some kind of megalomaniac and what have you. And a part of the methodology that I live my life by is I surround myself with people who expose people like that, so that if, heaven forbid, I should turn into some form of douchebag, they will pull me up on it, expose me, and discredit me before I can do too much damage to the truth movement or humanity as a whole, and not mislead people acting like some giant, big, fat Judas goat or whatever, leading everybody else off to the slaughter. I never want to become that way, but I know that everybody can be corrupted. You know, I used to be a salesman. Of course I can be corrupted. You know, you'd have to be naive to think that you're incorruptible. No man is. It's just a question of whether or not you ever get offered your price. You know, every man's got a price, but very few men actually get offered it.
That's true. And right now I'd like to, you know, you were talking about getting together. I just got a little blast from Revolution Radio. They're looking for a few more day shift hosts, folks. If you want to start a radio program on the internet, Revolution Radio is the only way to go, because Mike at Revolution Radio has been of enormous help to us to get our stream up the way we wanted it, to get the website where we wanted it, and he bends over backwards, and every penny he makes goes to the operation of the network. Hang on, I got a call.
Yeah, a lot of networks are like that, and they're popping up all over the place. And I think this is the reason for SOPA and PIPA and all of these other bits of legislation that are going to basically destroy us. You know, they're going to reduce us to ham radio at this point, which is why. And this is my New Year's revolution. Are we able to swear on this radio, Thomas?
Yes, you are.
You can, because
okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, my New Year's resolution is this: 2012, time to stop fucking around. And ever since,
oh, I agree with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, and ever since it's been 2012, suddenly everything's opened up for me. You know, I'm doing the radio shows on webcam every day. I'm uploading them every day. The rankings are going through the roof. More people are buying products. More people are subscribing. I'm getting to the point where I'm actually starting to be able to have a career out of fucking with the New World Order. And I love it. Isn't that great? You know? And the only reason
That's
I can
perfect.
And the only reason I can do it, actually. You know, it's like everybody else gets paid to be a part of the New World Order. I get paid to mess it up. but of course, again, it's all donations. It's all people who actually do believe, as I believe, that there is a global conspiracy, that we're all victims of it, and it needs to be taken down before we're all taken out. You know? It's out of a form of desperation. And I find that desperate times call for desperate measures, and you'd have to be pretty frickin' desperate to support Vinnie Eastwood, I'm telling you.
Oh,
bless your heart.
Let me make this statement. We have an afternoon show, folks, here on Wolf Spirit Radio that goes from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and that's when we're going to have little, essentially, roundtables, or if people want to try hosting their own show with them as a host, with their guest, get a hold of me either at pigradio2@air-internet.com, which you can find on the website, or catch me on Skype. I'm on Skype. I am wolfspirit.switchboard. And we will see if we can work it out.
All right. Now, I've got to go soon, guys. So I just kind of wanted to leave you with a nice thought. In fact, what was it? Oh, yeah. I believe in history there's only one moment, and it's this one. It's continuous. Okay, it's stretched all the way through history, and it will continue to stretch all the way on to eternity. So in a way, we get to share a moment with everybody that has ever lived or whoever will, and that is an encouraging thought.
That again is sage advice, because what we have to work with is right now.
Yep.
That's all we have to work with.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for giving me your time and your ears. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. I try to live my life in gratitude, and I can't force anybody to listen to me. So whenever you do, it's because you want to, and that makes me feel good. So I want to thank you from the deepest cockles of me heart and whatnot.
Thank you, Vinny. It was a really heartfelt, and the audience. Or feel that you kind of opened up your heart, and it was a very comfortable to coexist. So thank you very much for doing that, and I'll see you soon, you Kiwi bastard.
All right. Cool, mate. Well, you guys have a lovely night, and I'll catch you later.
Thank you, Vinny. Thank you again. My best to you and your girlfriend.
All right. Good night, gentlemen.